Hello, and welcome to the first ever Beth Williams Music Podcast. I'm so excited to be doing this. I've been thinking about it for a couple of years and finally getting it done today. My first one, I'm so excited. My first guest is an old friend of mine, Texas singer-songwriter Claude Butch Morgan. And if you go to his Facebook page, it's the one and only Claude Butch Morgan. Be sure and go like his page. And if you want to learn more about him, you can go to his website, which is butchmorgan.com. So here we go. I've got a bunch of great questions. Hello, Claude.
Hello, Beth. It's good to see you and be here in Colorado.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here. And this is Hill Country Recording Studio. So you're touring right now. And how long are you out on tour for? And where all are you going?
Oh, I'd have to have my calendar with me to really give you accurate information, but I'm going to be here in Colorado till next weekend, and then I go down to New Mexico, and I end up at the big Michael Hearn Big Barn Dance second weekend in September, and that's a three-day event, and I do it every year, and it's so between now and then I go back home.
Okay, and so the barn dance, are you doing your own
portion? I'm doing my own show on Friday, but then I'll play guitar with almost everybody there.
Oh, that's so great.
Electric guitar. You just get to rock out a little bit and have some fun.
Right.
But I'll be playing with Bob Livingston and Michael Hearn, and I'll play with Chuck Pyle, and I'll play with his wife, Laurie White, and I'll play with Trout Fishing in America, and I'll play with Susan Gibson. I mean, I'll be playing with everyone. So it's a big hoot for me, of course, you know.
Yeah. I've got a bunch of questions here that people have asked on Facebook, okay?
Okay.
John from, who lives in the UK, Raven Scott, I think that's how you say his name, says, what's your background? What music speaks to you and what voice does it have? So let's go with that first.
What's my background?
Yep.
Well, I don't exactly understand that question. As far as a musical background?
Yes.
I guess he wants to know.
Yes.
Well, you know, I was raised in a home where there was a diversified music. My parents liked pretty much everything across the board. And so they had, you know, everything from, Patsy Cline and Bob Wills and all, Hank Williams and all those. But they also had, you know, Patti Page and Lawrence Welk and the Everly Brothers. They liked everything. So I was raised with all kinds of music around me, you know. So that's kind of my background. You know, as soon as rock and roll started happening, I wanted to be a part of that.
So how old were you when you first started? Because the next question comes from Winona, and she wants to know, when did music become your passion?
So when did you start playing?
I think I was 13 when I first started playing. Maybe 14, somewhere in there. So.
And you were living in San Antonio or Divine?
No,
Divine. At the time?
Divine, Texas, yeah. My dad had a guitar, an old K, I still have it, an old K guitar. And we were watching Bonanza one night, and that great theme song came on. And I remember looking at my dad telling him, you know, I could play that on your guitar. And he says, you couldn't play that. I go, I could. I can do it. So he went and got me his guitar, and in a matter of just moments, I learned that song, and that's what I've been doing ever since. And so he ended up, within a couple of weeks, I knew more guitar than Dad did, so he gave me the guitar at that point. So I never woodshed. I don't practice. I've never been one of those people who just sits down. I could be much better if I would have done that, of course. I'd have been more studious with my talents, but I wasn't. I was a little bit lazy. I just used the guitar as a writing machine. I never really had any desire to be a great guitar player. It was just something I needed to do in order to write songs, which is what I really wanted to do. And so, you know, somebody needed to play the guitar. And since I had it, I decided, well, I'll play the guitar too. So, you know, fortunately, I had a good ear, you know, and so it was second nature.
I guess just the more you played, you just got better.
Well, that's
on
exactly
your own.
What happens. That's the way it happens with anything. If you do it enough, you know, if you continue to fail at it, you'll quit. If you continue to improve, you'll continue to play, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about the difference in cover music and, you know, your own songs.
Sure.
Because Sylvia Velez wants to know, what made you become a singer-songwriter? And what words of wisdom would you have for a child wanting to follow in your steps? So didn't you used to do cover material or did you not? Have you always done your own songs is the question, I guess.
Any band that I ever had always did my own material. But doing cover tunes is something that, you know, if a song touches me in a way, you know, I'll do it. But most of the time, by the time a song has really made an impression on me, I'm pretty sold on the artist that's doing it. And I don't really think I could ever live up to a lot of, you know, to there's some songs I just can't live up to, in my opinion. And so and I don't feel like I can represent them honestly, you know, whereas the songs that I write, I feel like I'm sharing myself. If I hear a song, so Lyle Lovett's got a couple of songs I do. You know, there's songs that I've been doing for years that have always touched me and moved me in a lot of ways. You know, and I've done cover tunes, but you know the original material. It was the way that I started writing songs was by. I live in a small town, and there was no one playing music in the town, and I was listening to the radio. And all the music that was impressing me on the radio was written by the artist that was singing it. So I just, in my little naive beginner heart, felt, well, if I'm going to do this, I should write songs. So I started writing songs. I wrote my first song when I was 13, and I just continued to do it. And I just thought that's what everybody did. I thought that's what you needed to do. So that's why I did it. It wasn't. I won't necessarily say it was a passion exactly, because. To me, it was just what I did. I didn't consider it as an extra, you know, something I had to strive towards or where I get up in the morning and...
Came natural to you.
It came natural to me, and I didn't ever think about it. I just didn't think about it.
You just did it. Okay. So, Jalen Venice wants to... She says, what does music do for you, and what inspires your creativity?
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, music allows me to hear things that I may not agree with, for one. It allows me to hear things that I do agree with as well. But music has a way of having a conversation with you about something that you may be uncomfortable, that you might not want to have just in a conversation with someone. But in a song, you can hear something. You can hear somebody sing a lyric, and it may be totally against every principle that you believe. But that's the way you get to hear it. I mean, I think it's important to keep your mind open. Don't want to have such an open mind that your brain falls out. But you do want to be able to, to listen to things. You know, because I'm a conservative. Okay, so if I was to just eliminate all the music that didn't agree with my particular thing, I wouldn't hear anything,
right.
Hardly anything.
Right.
The folk music scene is not conservative.
Right.
You know, it's very liberal, and I love all those people, you know. So I don't want to, I've developed this thing. I think music is the way that I'm able to keep up with that without having to. Pain, sorrow, happiness, sadness, all the emotions that you have, music is able to let you experience that without feeling... In a room, even where the whole room is crying or the whole room is laughing, so you don't feel alone with it. Whereas if it's just a one-on-one, you may be uncomfortable with hearing that. You know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's
That's a good description. Okay. So a woman named Kay Stack says, having been married to and divorced from two musicians, I want to know if music or family comes first to you.
It's family for sure. Yeah. I would. You know. I'd quit. I'd quit music in an instant if I thought I had to get rid of my family.
Oh, so sweet. Okay, so Jeremy Carnes, what's your favorite memory that you have turned into a song?
Ooh,
mm-hmm.
All of my songs are my favorite memories, and so it's going to be very difficult. But I have one called Old Black Crow that speaks to me and my walk to the Lord, and it's my testimony song. So, You know, that's a song that I sing at every gig. It's the door. After you hear that song, if you have any trouble knowing where my heart is, you weren't listening.
Mm.
You know, so that's my introduction.
So which CD is that on? Which of you?
It's on my new one.
Dry.
Dry.
Well, this old black crow sitting on a fence, trying hard to look intelligent. Silly old crow, acts like a fool, but he's lost his soul. He just don't know that yet. Hey, old black crow, nobody likes you. Got a nasty squawk, you got a bad attitude. Mean old crow, you got a one-way heart. He only does what he wants to. He's a mean old crow. Lies to his mother, steals from his brothers, just for grins. He's a nasty old crow. Cusses his neighbors, even birds of a feather, they don't call him a friend.
Oh yeah.
Himself some bright red spots, glued them on his wings. Now he's looking really sharp on the outside. On the inside, man, he still stinks. He's an old black crow. Don't want to hear about Jesus. No, he's way too cool for a cat like that. Now, he don't wanna know that God really loves him just the way that he is and right where he's at. Don't need forgiveness, don't even think about salvation. Maybe he should, but he ain't ready yet. See, he's flying high, still there's something above him, and someday, someday, have to deal with that. Well, this old black crow, man, he do look familiar. You know, he reminds me of someone I used to know. And I thank God daily, 'cause I can clearly remember when I used to be that old black crow.
How many CDs do you have?
F7. Seven CDs,
and they're all available. If people go to butchmorgan.com, they can get all the information of where to order those.
Yes, they can.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. James Venice wants to know, what are the smallest musical or performance ideas you picked up from other musicians? What's a small idea that you've picked up that you're using now?
Oh, I guess it's an age-old lesson that you learn only with maturity as a musician or as a songwriter, but it's the less is more idea. You know, when you first start playing, you want to play a lot. You play a lot of notes. You sing a lot of words and blah, blah, blah. The older you get, the more studied you are, the more you pay attention, the more sparse and selective you are in the notes that you play and trying to make the song better. So I think, you know, that's probably the best tool I have is being my own editor.
Ah, good one. I like that.
Just being my own worst critic and editing. That's it. It's all about the edit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Dia Jacobson says, what is the spiritual background of your childhood, and how does it inform your work?
Oh, okay. Well, my spiritual background is I was raised a Southern Baptist, and with my parents were pretty devout churchgoers, and I went too, but I was more or less forced to go, you know, as a kid. But it took, you know, it says in the Bible, it says, raise up a kid in the way he should go, and he'll return. So it worked in that respect. And so, but that was, you know, I always had that grounding. I never was in a place, even though I was in a dark, dark place for many years, I never was in a place so dark that I couldn't see the light that was available.
Right.
Yeah. Or I knew about it already.
Right.
So I couldn't say there is no God or there is no this. I already knew that love was the
answer for you.
For everything.
For everything. Yeah exactly. Yeah. So when people on the outside, I think, look at someone who's a singer-songwriter who's traveling on the road, and it looks quite glamorous because it looks like it's just a lot of fun. And I am a musician, but I also have musician friends who hit the road hard, and it's hard. So it doesn't really look like work, I think, to a lot of people. It just looks like you're a musician.
Well, they don't see any of the work.
Exactly. Give us a little picture of what the work is for
you. Well, the work can start anywhere. I mean, my work day starts usually at 6:37 in the morning when I break out my little journal and I start writing, and I write for an hour. And
Do you do that every day?
Every day.
Oh, okay.
Every day. Not a song necessarily, just journaling, just writing. I'm a writer, and so I want to write. And so I write gibberish. Some of it's no good. Some of it, 90% of it I throw away. But I'm always surprised that there's always be some little magic thing that you scribble down. At any rate, so the life on the touring as a musician, you know, that people they're sitting in the chair. Somebody announces your name, you walk out, and you play the guitar. That's what they think you're doing. Right. And the 10 hours you spent driving to the gig that day in order for you to be there for that 40-minute performance, they don't know anything about. The transmission going out, the wreck you had to stop and help with, just all the stuff that happens in life still happens to songwriters and singers. All the stuff that happens to plumbers and anything else that can happens to regular people happens to singer-songwriters. And so when you're out on the road and you're doing that, you know, it's a I still love playing for new people. You know, I still, like last night, the little gig we did at the 4Bs, it was a room full of people who had never heard me before. I won them over instantly. It was great. Had a great time. And, but I wouldn't even, I would have never met any of those people. I would have never had that moment, you know, and I love those moments.
Right, and that was David Starr. You got to do David that with David Starr. DavidStarrMusic.com.
But the drive to the gig, and then just touring around. You always have days off, and the only thing I ever think about when I'm off, like the next few days, I'm thinking about my granddaughter. It's her birthday tomorrow. She's going to be 13. Here I am, mm-hmm. And just my family, and you know, I miss all of that, and I just want to get in the truck and go home.
Mm-hmm. You know? Exactly.
So that's what that's the trade-off. It's never if you're working constantly where you're playing 13 days in a row or something, you don't have time to think. It's a little different. But if you have a couple of days off, it's like, even though you can go visit, you can have some fun, you can climb around in the mountains, or you can go a hike, or you can see a museum, you can go to a movie, you can do whatever you want. You're not home. You're not with your wife. You're not with your animals.
I think there's a real sacrifice for musicians who do what you're doing, in that you're out there and you're willing to get out there, and it's hard work.
It is. The thing that helps it, though, is that you keep it in mind, and so you're constantly in contact with people, you know, especially with the social media the way it is.
That helps.
I enjoy that so much because I'm able to text my family and send pictures and stuff where I couldn't do that even six years ago. You couldn't do that.
Right.
You could, for a certain amount of money, you could do it. But now everybody has it's just awesome. So it makes it a lot easier.
Yes.
When you have to keep things in perspective. You know, I keep pictures of my wife around. I keep pictures of my granddaughter somewhere where I can see them all the time.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell us real quick about I have seen your rolling house, but other people haven't. Tell us just real quick about that.
You know, I'm an old hippie. So I've been living in vans ever since I've had a vehicle, I've always had a van.
So you have a bed.
I have a bed and a stove and a refrigerator and an air conditioner and a generator and a chest of drawers and
it's just like a house.
An iPad and stuff. I'm fine. I got, you know, I just try to have the creature comforts on the road. And the thing it does for me is I don't have to stay in $100 a night hotels. And with my little generator, I can stay off the grid and I can camp wherever I want. And so I save a bunch of money cooking my own food. That saves me more money than anything. I never eat out. Ever
right.
On the road. I will not go buy a hamburger. I won't do it.
Yeah, good for you. Well, I would encourage people to definitely go to the one and only Claude Butch Morgan Facebook page, because what I love is just, it's so cool because you're constantly posting pictures, like you posted what you were cooking yesterday morning.
Yeah, that's on my other page, though. I don't ever put that on my music page.
Oh.
Music page, I just put music on. But on my regular page, which is Claude Butch Morgan, just Claude Butch Morgan.
And will you accept friendship from people?
Absolutely.
If they don't look too weird on their picture,
I'll check them out. You know,
check out your profile picture. Yes. But yeah, so it's very cool because I've noticed you have like almost 500 people following you on that page.
Right. I don't know that I can accept more friends. Now, I think you have to just like my site because I got 6,000 friends or something.
But I think that they can follow you.
Yeah. They definitely, that's what you have to do now. I mean, you can't.
Right.
You know, that's all you can do.
But it's very cool because you have pictures of your van and everything that you're doing on the road. And speaking of on the road, so I have a question here from Cindy Ivy. She says, can music be your career, like making a living doing what you love? Now, you're probably making a living because you've been doing it a long time. If you were 20 years old.
Okay, if I was 20 years old and had wisdom?
Yes.
Okay, because when you're 20 years old, you don't have any wisdom. You think you do.
Right.
But the wisdom comes later. But if I was 20 years old and starting out, I would heed exactly what my father told me when I was 20, which was, you can do anything in America that you want to do, just don't get in debt. That's what he told me. Now, I didn't pay him any attention right then. But when I got to be about 40 years old, I was in debt. And so I worked really hard for 4 years. Me and my wife got rid of all of our debt. And from that moment on, I started making decisions based upon, well, I've done everything. I mean, I've been a house painter. I've done roofing. Janitorial work, sign painter. You know, the list goes on and on. I worked in a mechanic shop. I was a furniture refurnisher. I've done so many jobs, but my best day in any of those jobs was 10,000 times worse than my worst day as a singer-songwriter. You know, I love doing this. So I decided I was going to make this work for me. So what I was going to do was do whatever was necessary for that I could do this.
And how did you do that? And when did you do that? When did you make that decision, and how did you make that happen?
I made that decision when I was 41 or 42 years old. Well, I just paid off, like I said, I paid off all my debts, and then I started living within my means. And if I couldn't afford something, I didn't buy it. And if I could buy it, I did. But if I couldn't afford it, I didn't. And so I didn't go into debt. I didn't use credit cards. I don't do any of that stuff. I've got one debit card. That's what I use. And I have one traveling credit card that I use for my gas. And those are the two things. But that's the key to freedom, is not to be under the thumb of somebody that you owe money to.
Mm.
You know, you can come and go as you please as a broke man. But you can't come and go as you please if you're shackled.
Is that a line from your song?
Mm-mm.
Well, let's get that. Write that down. That should be a line
okay.
in one of your...
At any rate, I just decided a long time ago it was worth more to me to be able to do what I wanted to do, so that because what I wanted to do was to make people, I wanted to pick people's spirits up.
Yes.
So I decided that I was going to do whatever was necessary to do that. So if that meant that I couldn't have a new car or a big bank account or any of that stuff, then I'd just not do that. So, you know, it worked. It works for me. But I cross my T's and dot my I's. I don't, you know,
yeah.
I save and pinch and mm-hmm. do stuff. And like I said a while ago, I will not eat out because I just won't spend the money. I just
right.
won't. And I'm not a penny pincher. We spend the money we have, you know, my wife and I do. But so, you know, but it's been good to me. I don't have any regrets about it whatsoever. I mean, I own my own home, you know. I don't have any bills.
Which is huge, you know, for a singer-songwriter to say, I own my own home.
It's paid off. I mean, I paid it off in 6 years.
Wow. Yeah. But you spent, okay, so, but in order to do that, because as far as the singer-songwriter world, you are one of the most successful, I would say, of the ones that I know. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different levels, I guess, but there's different levels. But you were very, very successful.
Well, I'm on the
You work really, really, you're one of the hardest working singer-songwriters that I know, too. Right. I mean, you work hard. So tell us about that. How you sacrifice to do that.
It depends on what your idea of success is, you know. And when I realized that I was a successful person even without a guitar.
Nice.
Or without anything.
Yeah.
That God really made me successful. Then at that point, it was easy. Because if you're searching for success or for fame or whatever, that fortune or whatever it is, then that's a whole nother deal. And I think it takes you away from, you know, what
God's plan for your life.
Well, maybe basically. God's plan, but just the plan at all, because the that's why your question about the passion, you know, I understand the passion, but the passion gets people in trouble. And I don't mind. I have this friend named Corin Raymond. He's a great songwriter in Canada. He has this great song called "There Will Always Be a Small Time." And I love that song because it talks about that regardless of the 15 minutes of fame lasts just that.
Right.
And you may have a pocket full of money at the end of that, but it's fleeting. All of that's fleeting. Whereas there will always be a small time. There'll always be the steady current of places that you can play and sing and groups of people that you can sing to that will always be there bubbling around, and you can be a part of that. And that's just as successful. I don't know if it's any more important than being on some huge stage as it is being in 4B Brewery last night playing for people. I don't know.
Well, to me, though, to me, a level of success is being a singer-songwriter and being able to go places and play your music and to have an audience. And you are able to do that. I mean, you do the Kerrville Folk Festival. You're doing house concerts. You're doing the barn dance. I mean, all of those things. There are a lot of musicians who are singer-songwriters who would like to be able to do that aren't doing that. So that when I talk about a level of success, I'm talking about you've worked hard and you've attained where people are saying, we want Claude Morgan to come and sing at this house concert. We're going to sit and listen to you and we're going to do donations. So I'm thinking about that.
That's true. And that's exactly right. But, you know, I'm not necessarily looking to be the next, you know, big thing.
No, I know
I stopped that a long time ago.
Not.
But what I do want to do is exactly what you got to say. I do want to continue to play and as long as I'm enjoying it, I'm going to do it. You know,
that's huge to be able to do it.
Sure, and I understand I'm blessed in that way. And you know, but I do work hard at those kinds of relationships. When I find something, let's just say Southwest Regional Folk Alliance with that I do every year. I'm work that thing, but I'm always looking for some way to get myself involved in something, whether it's playing or not playing, in something that I like. So the Kerrville Folk Festival, the first thing I did was volunteer to run sound on a Sunday morning. She didn't have any anybody doing that, and so I volunteered, and that just got me in. And because of that one little thing, you know, I've been in every year.
I remember you had told me that way back when. That's one of the things that you did, like at these festivals way back when. You just volunteered. You just got your foot in the door and met people. And
I try to find some niche that nobody else is filling and just do it.
I remember that's what you said. I'll do the thing that no one else wants to do. I'm willing to do it. And even if it isn't playing music.
Right.
And it's just that real giving heart of yours, you know, that you're just like, okay, here I am. What can I do? I want to be involved in any way you can use me.
That's exactly it.
And that's a very cool thing.
Well, it's selfish on one side, But on the other side, not so much.
But, you know, I think those are the things. Those are like, they're sort of like little pearls of wisdom for people who want to get in. And, you know, they just want to go, well, like, I would like to do this. But you have to kind of work up to it.
That's right.
You've worked hard.
Yeah. I have people tell me, say, well, you play the festival every year. I've submitted to play that festival 25 years, and they've never let even return my going. I go, well, have you ever been to the festival? No. Why would I go? They won't even... I go, there you go.
I know.
You know, like, you need to come to the festival, shake hands with Dallas, meet the people, go to the campfires. People know you're interested. Oh, he's for real. Butch is for real. Let's get him.
Right.
He's fun.
You are fun. Yeah. You are fun and you're, you go, yeah, I am fun.
I am fun.
You are very fun and you're funny. Tonina Brandenburg Johnson wants to know, seriously, what do you hope to accomplish for God's kingdom through your music?
Well, I just want to touch somebody with the love that God has given me. You know, that's all. The greatest, you know, there's the greatest song ever written was Jesus Loves Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no better song.
Oh, I love that. I think that's right. Cindy Ivey says, how is today's music marketing working for you? It's a lot different.
It is different, and I'm not involved in it, so I don't know.
You don't know.
No,
yeah.
I don't seek it out or get on... I don't do any of those pot. I just don't.
You don't.
I don't mess any of that. I'm a live performer. I don't do very little in the,
right.
As far as, you know, what is it? Some of those places that hold your music in the satellites and.
Oh, like, Pandora and all that. You don't do any of that stuff. Well, I know that. So let's talk about radio just a little bit. So it used to be like they were just like. Back in the days of Patsy Cline, you know, and radio's different now. Now it's all over the internet, and so many of them are not reporting stations and all this stuff. And they have all these various charts, like tons of different charts.
Yeah.
And so a lot of musicians try and get in the charts. Do you do anything like that, or are you just into?
I don't do anything like that.
Okay.
For one thing, it's an expense.
Yes, it is.
To get somebody to, I mean, I've promoted CDs, two CDs, both of them were successful promotions, and I got airplay all over the world. But for me, the outlay, the cash outlay, compared for what I want to do, you know, I don't see it as being beneficial for me. It would be, but just,
right.
You know.
It's just another well.
You make better money if people have heard of you in a town and you come into their town and they've heard your music on the radio. They're going to come to your gig,
right?
But I'm not up there where that all happens, and I don't really have the desire to do the work necessary to get up there where all that happens. I like kind of where I'm at. You know,
well, where you're at is a great place.
I sort of like being on the under on the you know sort of like what would they call it? I like being underground somewhat, you know, like doing my own thing on a very small scale, just accomplishing what I need to accomplish. And
you have a huge fan base.
I do.
You know, that it may be down, whatever it is, but you have...
Grassroots. It's mostly...
It's a grassroots.
It always is. And that's the people I love. And that's the stuff I love. And because I really, at 70 years old, I don't have the energy for it.
Right.
I don't have the energy to... And I don't have an agent, like you were saying a while ago. I don't have a booking agent. I don't have a PR agent. I don't have any of those things. It's a constant work. You know how much work it is just to get a poster to a gig, to get the venue to even put the poster up on the wall. I mean, it's constant, and I just don't have time for it. If I was 35, 40 years old, I might dive on it, but not anymore.
Right, yeah, and because it is, and I think that's what people don't realize. You know, I've known artists, and you do too. You have too, that they say they're independent, but they're independent and they hire booking agents, publicists, and these different things. But when you are completely doing everything yourself, it is so much
work.
You
forget that you're an artist.
Yeah, you forget to. You don't have time to write songs and do all that.
You have your calendar up there, and it's loaded with things that you have to do, and you didn't chart out any time for sitting around with your guitar and a piece of paper and trying to write something. You know, so. You know, for me, that's flip-flop.
Right.
That's priority for me. Writing is priority. Performing is next. But writing is the priority. So when things start taking away from my writing, I have to look at this stuff over here because this is what I want to do.
when we did that house concert together, when you perform, it's like you're taking people to a different place and you're blessing them. I mean, you can call it making them happy, uplifting their spirits, blessing them. Whatever it is, you're bringing good on them.
Right.
You know, they're feeling whether it is their pain, you're expressing that, you know, and it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing, and it's not something you have to be worried about. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul, and he said that he was glad that God didn't show him all the work that he did.
Ah, yeah.
Because he said, I'd get all puffed up in myself.
Right. You know.
So I leave that up to the Holy Spirit in the room. And people always say, oh, I wish we'd had more people here tonight. I go, the people that are supposed to be here are here.
They are here.
There's three people. Or it could be 3,000. Either way. Jesus says, I am concerned about the one. I'm not concerned about the 99.
Right.
I'm concerned about the one.
About the one.
So that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
I do want to share the music, but, you know, I'd write the songs anyway.
You would write them.
I would write them. In fact, I do. I write hundreds of songs nobody ever hears. And so,
it's
writing is something that doesn't require an audience.
Yes.
Yeah, you can write with an audience in mind. That's a different kind of writing. Or you can just write, which I tend to like to do. I like to just write. I don't care if anybody else ever reads it.
Right.
You know, yeah. I want to write.
Well, let's see. So what I was thinking, I wanted to invite you to sing one of your songs. And what are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing a song that I wrote a couple of weeks ago. It's a different song. I don't necessarily know if it's a song for the ages or not, but I feel like I like it a lot.
Okay, why don't you get ready? And while you're getting ready, I'll just remind people again.
All right. Let me say thanks, too, for you doing this and inviting me to come in let me have the little podcast, your first podcast.
My first podcast.
Awesome.
I know.
And so I'm going to invite all my artist friends, all of you know who it is, to get in touch with Beth and let her know when you're going to be around.
Yes.
And she'd be glad to do this same thing with you, I'm sure.
I would love to. I'm looking for musicians who want to do this. Having this side of you just makes you even more endearing. And it's so much words of wisdom.
I find that I'll veer off course if I don't keep the song first.
Mm.
You know, if I don't stay honed in on the fact that songwriting is what I am, I'll veer off course. And I'll start thinking that performance is the way to go. And it is. You got to be a good performer. But I completely forget sometimes. And so I feel that my performances work better when I stay focused on the song and not so much on where the song might go.
Mm, or where the song might take you.
Yeah.
You never know what God is doing. When the light came on, the person standing there, I did not recognize. Trembling little man with the hollow eyes and the razor sharp tongue he used on everyone. You never know what God is doing. So thin, well, you could see right through him. Yeah, you could see his heart full of bitterness and pride. So insecure. nothing warm, nothing soft, nothing pure. You never know what God is doing. Save my love. Save my love. Save my love. You don't know what God is doing. You never know what God is doing.
That was Claude Butch Morgan singing his original song, Save My Love, here at Hill Country Recording Studio in beautiful Colorado. My name is Beth Williams, singer-songwriter, studio session singer, and now a podcaster. Please visit my website at bethwilliamsmusic.com, my YouTube channel at Beth Williams Music, and come visit me on my Facebook page, Beth Williams Music. Hope you'll subscribe to my now ongoing podcast, and please share with your friends. Again, this is Beth Williams, wishing you well. Until next time.
And tend to it every day. Forgive and pardon those who sin against you on your way. And follow your passion and then dance into the universe. Brush your teeth, comb your hair, take a bath, clean the house. Remember, first things first. Yeah, and don't look back. Be happy where you're at now. Don't look back. Be happy where you're at now.